Hey everyone, welcome to Entrepreneurship by Design with Dr. C. I'm your host, Dr. Caroline, and thank you so much for joining us today. Entrepreneurship looks different for everyone. How and why we start our business, challenges that occur, pivots we have to make, success we achieve, all while life is happening. That's why I love sharing these inspiring entrepreneurs with you and shed light that there's enough room for everyone to succeed and thrive, even if you're in the same industry.
I am so honored today because I have Elise Coulson with me, and Elise is a former teacher turned virtual assistant turned business coach. After struggling to start and create a business that would allow her to quit her 9-to-5 and spend more time with her kids, she became passionate about helping other freelancers to skip all the yuck and really embrace the pieces of running a business that are fun. This is where her coaching business was born. She now works with freelancing moms to create consistent 5K months while working only 20 hours a week. When Elise isn't helping moms own their awesomeness, she is spending time with her three kiddos and her husband in Denver, Colorado, down the street from me. How are you doing today?
I am doing very well. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. It's a complete honor. And I would love for you to just really dive into your entrepreneurial journey, because I know it's been a lot of twists and turns and pivots.
Man, I mean, and what's so funny is like, I'm now 4 years into my business, a little over 4 years. And you would think that at some point it would like slow down or like stop making super huge changes. And it's just not the reality. And so, I mean, for me, starting a business was never something that was on my radar. Like from the time I was 7, I was like, I'm going to be a teacher. Like, that's the thing that I'm going to do. I want to teach. Like, I love it. It's so fun. And I did it. So I went to school to be a teacher. I got my first teaching job. I was teaching. And as I was teaching, and what's so funny is like my mom totally called me on it like long before I even started my teaching journey. But she was like, you're not going to want to stay a teacher. You're going to want to go do like admin stuff and like helping other people. And I was very stubborn and said no. About 6 years into my teaching journey, I decided I wanted to do admin stuff because it gave me a little bit more flexibility. And that was when we were like starting our family. And I just didn't want to have to be working all of the different nights and weekends that you really do as a teacher. There's a whole bunch of extra work. And then while on maternity leave with my daughter, who's my second child, I ran across this webinar for working from home as a freelancer to help other people with the stuff that they need help with in their businesses. And being an introvert, like there was a lot of draw to like, you may not have to leave my house. I can like work from home. And the only like connection that I had to freelancing was like freelance writers. Like you heard about freelance writers who would write for different publications. I was like, that's not me. I'm not a writer, whatever. Yeah. And I signed up for this woman's program. And it was just like, totally blew my mind. Cause I mean, I had never even thought about doing any sort of work like this. And so I started as a virtual assistant, just like a general virtual assistant. Cause I mean, as a teacher and even as a school administrator, I had all kinds of like organizational tools and tricks and like helping people stay on top of things. And that was like, I was really good at that. Mm-hmm. But it was really hard for me. I very much was not willing in the beginning part of my business to really step outside my comfort zone and talk to people that I didn't know and put myself out there and even talk to the people that I did know to tell them what I was doing inside of this new business that I had created. And so I struggled. I struggled really, really hard to even try and find my first client. And so it took about 6 months until I found my first paying client. I had some really horrible barter stories that I did before I even found my first paying client. And then even after that, I still struggled for like another 6 months. I had like 17 discovery calls, none of them converted. And I was like, what am I doing wrong? But But I did finally start to like gain momentum and gain clients about a year after I started my business. It was going really well and it was awesome. Mm-hmm. And then 18 months into my business, I lost 2/3 of my clients in the matter of like a month. And that was devastating. I was like, do I even really want to keep doing this thing? Like, mm-hmm. it's so hard for me to find clients. I feel like when people ask me what I do, I don't really have a clear understanding on how I help people. Not to mention, it was more like I was collecting clients than it was like creating a business. I was trying so hard to replace my 9-to-5 income, which was a pretty high threshold. I mean, I had to replace my 9-to-5 income before I could quit my job. And needing to create at least $5,000 months was hard given the sort of work that I was doing. And I felt like I didn't necessarily have the support and tools that I needed to get me to like maintaining and serving clients, but also continuing to network and bring in new clients and like clients that I actually loved and loved working with and who appreciated the work that I was doing with them. And so I did make a shift and finally niched down, and I was doing content management and really focusing on content repurposing, which I still love. Like, I think content repurposing is the best way to create client content in your business, no matter who you are. And like, it's just, I love it. And so once I did that, and I also signed up for group coaching so that I could get some support. And it was really the first time in my business that I had done that. I was trying to do this all by myself, which was exhausting. Mm-hmm. I finally started to see some momentum and some positive momentum, some sustainable momentum. And that was really the shift and change that I needed to make. And this was in the summer of 2020. I was able to quit my job, which was awesome. And I was talking with my marketing coach at the time. And the thing I wanted to do is I wanted to put together a course to help other social media managers niche down into content repurposing so that that could be like the thing that they did. Cause I have a whole framework that really allows you to do it coming from a place of being an expert versus like, this is just a service that I provide. Mm-hmm. But she looked at me and she was like, Elise, there are so many freelancers who are struggling after they've started their job, like after they've started running their business. Mm-hmm. Like there's nobody to help those people. There's a whole bunch of coaches who are going to help you start your business. Sure. But there's not a whole lot of support for continuing to run your freelancing business. Mm-hmm. And so that is where my coaching business was birthed from. It was birthed from this, like, you get to this point where you've been running your business and you've been gaining mm-hmm. clients, but you're still in growth mode. And honestly, if you keep doing it the same way that you did when you started your business, you're going to burn out.
Yeah.
And I've watched that happen to more moms, especially because you also have these kids that you have to take care of too.
Right.
And so when it comes down to it, like, do I keep running my business or do I really lean in and support my family and support my kids? They always choose their family and their kids. And I would not be here to tell you that that is the wrong decision. I would be here to tell you though, that you don't have to give up running the business part. Mm-hmm. That you can run a business really, really well, really intentionally, and you can still be a really intentional mom and still have that flexible schedule and still have all of that time freedom that we really love as entrepreneurs, as business owners. And it doesn't have to be a one or the other. You really can have both. Mm-hmm. So. I mean, that's where we're at. It's just, and as I've continued to coach people, it's become more and more of this like passion of mine to really dive in and help these amazing moms find the tweaks that they can make in their business that really make all the difference.
You're absolutely right. I love everything you said there because it's also, it's following your gut too. And I say this a lot because it's, you might start out in a career and completely shift gears, and that's okay. Like, I mean, I shifted gears from psychology to coaching, like, and mm-hmm. everything else I'm doing now. But I think for you, I love that you found that particular niche of the maintaining the business, sustaining the business, versus like, there are a lot of incredible coaches focusing on starting a business, because when you're starting a business, like, if you've never had that background or you don't really learn that in school, even if you go to business school, a lot of people don't learn the actual tools, at least from what I've heard. But and my own experience.
Have no background on like taking business classes. I took teaching. So
yes, yeah. Exactly. But like, even so, I think it's amazing that you're able to find that particular niche, because you're right, there isn't that niche being filled as much, and being able to find it, especially for moms too, because I work with a lot of mompreneurs, and just seeing all the hats they're juggling of being able to do that, but still sustain their business too. Because when life happens, how do you continue to maintain that and be able to provide financially, whether if it's a single mom or you have a partner or there's other family members you're taking care of. But there are a lot of hats being juggled. I'm not a mom personally. I just know a lot of moms. But I think too, it's just, it rings true of how you can sustain it. So I'm curious, because you've talked about a couple of the pitfalls and the roadblocks you've had. But I'm curious, in the beginning of your business, when you started doing a lot of the VA stuff, mm-hmm. you said something yeah. important that I think a lot of people don't talk about or know, because people think, oh, success overnight, or, oh, you just had no problem getting clients. But could you speak to how you pushed through that when, like, the 17 clients you had, and then when all the other aspects were happening where you lost some of your clients, how that really helped you move forward and not kept you stuck?
Totally. So one of the big things that I think we do just as human beings is, mm-hmm. is we get very, there's an emotional attachment to the things that happen inside of our business. And especially if you've never run a business before, like I'd never run a business before. I've never even come close to running a business before. Mm-hmm. And teaching is very much like an emotional thing. Mm-hmm. You have this emotional attachment to everything that happens inside of your business. And I think one of the big shifts that I had to make is I can have that like emotional reaction to what's happening. I don't want to ignore that part of it, but I also need to come back and look at it from almost like a scientist point of view. Like, what happened? Why did that happen? And how can I shift and change it to move myself forward? What am I not doing? What am I doing? Like, what are the things that are happening inside of my business and inside of how I'm operating myself that are not serving me? Mm-hmm. And so like, I can do something different. And actually this summer, where I started to really see some momentum in my business, one of the big things that I hadn't done, and this was pre-COVID, so like it was easier. I had never gone to like a networking event at all. And so like, I told you one of the hardest parts is like, I wasn't actually like talking to anybody, but it's really easy for me to sit at home in front of my computer and like scroll through Facebook and call that networking. I'm like, that's not networking. I'm not talking to anybody. Or like popping into Facebook groups. And again, scrolling, not talking to anybody. But to me, I'm like checking the box that's telling myself that I'm networking. I actually went to 3 in-person networking events in like 2 weeks. It was like, for somebody who doesn't totally love being around a whole bunch of brand new people that I've never met before, like I just stepped way outside of my comfort zone. Mm-hmm. And so I went to these networking events, and it wasn't so much that like I gained a lot of business from going to those networking events, but I gained a better understanding of who I was serving by going to those networking events. And I gained more confidence in talking to people about what I was doing. And I mean, confidence is a huge piece of running a business and running it well. And a lot of the thing, like I see people ask all the time, like, how do you gain confidence in something? And the biggest thing, the biggest way to gain confidence is to go and do the thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're going to gain so much confidence from just the experience in itself. And I know for me, like when there's a new thing that I've never done before and I have to like build myself up to have lots of courage to go do this thing. Once I've done it, once I've seen the mechanism of how the thing works, it's no longer scary to me. Yeah. Because I know that I've already done it before. And so I can do it again.
You're right. And I just, like, when you were saying that, like, a lot of thoughts triggered in my head just now. But it's also the unknown. A lot of times when you don't know, the uncertainty, or, and that's entrepreneurship, but especially like going to a networking event. Like, I know I feel the same way. Like, I am an extrovert, introvert, depending on the situation, but definitely going into a room full of people I don't know, I'm kind of like, oh, I'm like shy, or I don't want to talk to anyone, or not shy, but more reserved. You know, it's kind of the same thing, but slightly different. But being able to like go into the room, and then once I start meeting somebody, I'm like, oh, okay, this isn't so bad. Like, it's all just like amped up, like energy. But like, once you're there, like, everyone's there for the same reason. Totally. To be able to learn about your business. And I love that you like pushed through that and just did it, even if it was uncomfortable. And I think that's, even with business, you have to push through those things when it's uncomfortable, because it's the only way it's going to grow. Unless you want to stay stagnant, then yeah, it's going to be comfortable.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And like, so even once you start gaining clients, if you're still not at the income levels that you want to be making, but you're not willing to take a look at what you're doing, what is working, what isn't working, you are going to stay in that same place. Yeah. And it's, you're going to feel like you're in less in control of the direction that your business is heading. You're just kind of at the whim of whatever is happening in your life. And that, I mean, when things do then happen in your life, it becomes that much harder to control the direction that things are going, because you don't have any systems, any of that, an idea of like what you are doing and what you're not doing.
Yeah. Is if you don't look at it, how are you going to know? And that's just like constant, like self-development and being able to be aware of, okay, well, it's not that you're the problem. It's just maybe something in the system that needs to be cracked and tweaked. And like what you were saying earlier with your clients. So I would love for you to share maybe one or two client success stories. I know you have probably a lot, but if you can maybe pick one or two to share with us of what that journey looks like of the success that you've had.
Totally. So in terms of like coaching, one of my very first coaching, women that I worked with, she like jumped on board with me right at the very beginning when I first started. She's one of my very first one-on-one coaching clients, and actually helped me like put together the framework that is now my group coaching program. But she was very much in that like struggle of like, she had like three or four clients. Only one of them was really the kind of client that she wanted to be serving and the type of work that she was doing. And they were all paying her very poorly. Like her prices were so low that it was going to be very difficult to start to reach the sort of income levels that she wanted to be reaching. Yeah. And so we really had to sit down and look at what she was currently doing in her business. What are the actions that you're currently taking? What are the prices? Like, how do you gain new clients? How have you gained the clients that you currently have? Like, we essentially did like a business audit. What is currently happening? That is going to then allow us to figure out the steps that we need to take to move forward. And so one of the biggest things that she needed to do was to raise her rates, to put together actual packages that were not based on like when I work with my clients, it's not about the amount of time that you spend doing a task. It's about the amount of value that it provides for your clients. Mm-hmm. And that is what determines how much you charge somebody for your different packages, which can be hard. It's a hard shift, not just for the freelancer, but for the business owners that they're supporting. Because more often than not, the business owners are looking for somebody who like, I'm looking for 20 hours a week. And that's fine, except that if I'm a really efficient person and I charge you by the hour, I'm losing money because I'm really good at what I do. So like me being an expert in what I do is actually going to cost me money. Like that doesn't sound fun. So we had to put together some packages that really showed off her expertise and how she could support business owners, so that when she was talking with potential clients, you can close the sale faster. Mm-hmm. And by not having to do a whole bunch of back and forth, you are able to gain clients at a faster rate. Mm-hmm. And they're actually ideal clients because you vetted them even before they even get on a call with you. Right. And so we had to make these shifts and changes into the different systems, from her onboarding process to like her client management process. And then one of the big things we had to do is she had to let go of some of these other clients that were not serving her, and she could not adequately serve them at the capacity that that they really deserved, because she wasn't the person to be doing that for them. So it, over the course of, I believe we had a 3-month one-on-one coaching container that we were working through. And over the course of those 3 months, by the end of that year, she had let go of a bunch of these like non-ideal clients that she was doing non-ideal work for, and they were underpaying her. She was able to gain 3 clients that were within her ideal scope, and she 5x'd her income that she had been making. Wow. And so her business completely transformed, and she was actually back to loving it again. Whereas she was right on the verge of burnout because she just couldn't keep doing it the same way.
Yeah. I love that you broke that down too. And what an amazing success story as well of just how, when we start working in our business and realizing too the value we have to offer, because I know a lot of people I've spoken to myself personally in the beginning, it's like, well, I'm going to charge by the hour, or it's like more the value, the experience. And I love that you really focus in on the short amount of time, because time is so valuable, and being able to like help your clients working only 20 hours a week, or being able to really finagle what makes sense based off of their experience, the value they bring, and what you bring too, and just all the learning experiences you've had, but being able to take that knowledge to your clients as well, and being able to help them and empower them essentially to really ask for that and increase the prices, because it, I mean, even inflation, right? Like just looking at like how prices, nobody asked us if we wanted that.
Right. Oh man.
I'm like, I don't get in trouble for that. Probably the government's not watching. But I mean, in reality, if you think about it, it's like paying our bills, but like it's a profession, it's a business. It's not like the family and friends discount. Like, of course you want to help people, but really being able to ring true to what makes sense for each individual and the business and the value they're providing. So I love that you're able to help her turn around her business and really love it again. And like being able to enjoy that time.
Totally. And when you love the work that you do, mm-hmm. it radiates out of you. Like the energy that you bring to the table when you don't love what you do completely affects the types of clients that you end up attracting, because it's the way that you show up. And mm-hmm. so when you're showing up and you do love what you're doing, and you are serving them at your best capacity in an area that you feel super, like, just like super jazzed about, mm-hmm. people can't help but want to work with you, mm-hmm. just for the energy that you bring to the table. And yeah. I mean, and then if you just, and then you think about how that energy mm-hmm. affects the people that you're around day to day as well. Like, mm-hmm. your significant others, your kids, your friends, like they want to be around somebody who enjoys what they're doing as well. That's the whole reason why you started your business. You didn't start your business so that you could like essentially have a remote job that you sit at your desk and do all day. Like, that's not why I did this. And that's the filter that I like to look through anytime that I make a decision in my business, is like, is this actually serving the purpose of why I started this in the first place? Mm.
I appreciate that. And I wanted to ask you too, because one of my core pillars is work-life integration, and really being able to speak to that, because I do know based off of what you're saying and what your experience has been, how have you been able to integrate work and life and motherhood and entrepreneurship, all of it together?
That is a great question. It's an ever evolving and changing thing, because life continues to ever and evolve and change. And I think sometimes we want there to be one very easy answer. Is like, you know, I spend 8 hours on Tuesdays working on my business, and then I close my computer and I go and spend time and eat dinner with my family. And while that may be ideal, there are definite weeks and days where that's just not the reality of the situation. And so I have like a baseline of when I work. So I do all of my calls Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. Mm-hmm. And then depending on how many calls I have, like today, I have whole like laundry list of calls today. Like I'm not going to get a ton of extra stuff done. Yeah. And so the integration part really comes into checking in on yourself and monitoring your own energy, but also looking at what you need to do in order to really be successful in each of the different areas of your life. Yeah. And being really honest with yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, do I need to take this Friday off just so that I can recharge and be a better person for myself? And if the answer is yes, then I do that. But if I know that I have other things coming up and I'm feeling energized and ready to dive into them, I don't feel bad about spending more time at different parts of my week or the month or within the year on different parts of my business and giving up more family time during those different seasons than other seasons where it really is that I need to dive in and love on my family. Mm-hmm. And so it's the ability to be flexible with that and knowing that like, I'm going to do the things that I have to do, mm-hmm. but there are definite seasons where that's the most that I can ask of myself. Mm-hmm. And then there's going to be other seasons where it's like, cool, I have all of these like ideas and things that I want to execute. And that sounds awesome and amazing. And it's like really energizing me. And so I'm going to lean a little bit more into those things. Mm-hmm. I think the other big piece about having really good business life, motherhood integration is making sure that you have support in whatever that looks like for you. Mm-hmm. The other piece that I will say about that is intentionality. Mm-hmm. When I am working on my business stuff, I am working on my business stuff. And when I am spending time with my kids and my family, I'm spending time with my kids and my family, and I don't have guilt one way or the other.
Yeah. And that's what it's about, right? It's about being able to build your business around your life, but not negating yeah. any of it, but figuring totally. Out how it all works together and how it makes sense. And I love that you broke down about the seasons, because like there are different phases of life that we go through. I'm sure like before you had kids, now as they get older too, like the different stages, but that's just like business too. There's different stages in our business. And I think it's important to prioritize where our time goes. But I love that you said the intentionality as well of understanding like, where is that time going, being present in those moments so you have more energy. Because I know like a lot of different people, they have their hands in a lot of pots, and that's definitely was me. And I'm very stubborn when it comes to that, but realizing if I'm focused on one thing, how much further it's going to get or how much the relationship's going to grow, like all those factors are so imperative. But I'm curious with starting your business and now where you look back of all the years you've done, what has been maybe two or three tips you could tell us that when you start out your business, what you wish you would have known back then that you know now?
Oh, that's a good question. One of the big things that I wish, not so much that I didn't know it, but I wish that I really would have leaned into it more, is this idea that everyone that you talk to is helpful for your business, no matter what the conversation is. You need to make sure that they know how you help people and who you help, because they might have connections that you don't know about. And that the best way to network, quite honestly, is to just like build relationships and get really curious about who the other person is and what they do. Because mm-hmm. we love to talk about ourselves, right? Like everybody loves to talk about like the thing that they do. Mm-hmm. And so how can you help people? And if you enter conversations with that mentality, like it's just going to skyrocket from there. The other thing, the other big thing that I wish I would have known more is, and really, again, like leaned more into, is that you can't do this alone. It will not serve you. You will move so much slower if you try and do it alone. And whatever that looks like for you, whether or not you need a coach or some accountability partners or like whatever it is, you need other people who have been where you've been, who know where you want to go and can help you bridge that gap.
Oh, those are two amazing tips, and really understanding relationships are the basis of everything, I believe. So I completely agree with that, because you never know. It might not be for your business, but you might be the connector for somebody. I'm always like, oh, so-and-so and this person need to like connect. Mm-hmm. Like, I love that. And I love that you brought that up. And also just knowing that not to do it alone, because if you look at any successful person, everyone's had a mentor, everyone's had somebody, a coach or accountability partner, or just any aspect to help them grow. Because I think it takes a village, and understanding that too. It's one thing to say it, another thing to actually implement it. I'm very charged. But being able to understand that too. So I love that. And those are really phenomenal. And I think just really writing those down, everyone listening, like if you haven't already realized that, it is something so imperative to really help you become successful and building relationships and not doing it alone. Those go hand in hand of understanding how to grow your business, because you're all capable. But I've been so enjoying this conversation, Elise, but we're going to jump into the rapid fire questions if you're ready for them.
Sounds good. I'm ready. I am ready.
Okay. The first question is, who is your hero?
So this is so cheesy. My hero is my mom. She's been through a lot, and she just like, she's just so awesome. If I can be half the mom that she is, we'll count it good.
Moms are the best, and look who she raised, you know.
It makes sense.
So what motivates you to work smarter? I know we kind of touched on it a little bit, but
totally. One of my biggest motivators, honestly, is getting to see the transformation that people have once they start to like get it. It's the light bulb moment. It's the thing that I loved about teaching too, is like, once you see that light bulb moment, you can't help but like get excited for them. And then that helps to like boost you and want to help more people.
Yes. That ripple effect. Totally. And if you were to be a superhero, what would be your power or powers?
I would want to freeze time.
Interesting.
I think that's one that we like forget. I don't know that it's so much a superhero power, but like, I watched Charmed when I was younger, and one of the women, she could like freeze time. I was like, that's so cool. Do you know how much I could get done? Like, if I could just like freeze time, like, cool. Go take a nap. Yeah.
That's a good one. I haven't heard that one. Yeah. If you could share a meal with any four individuals, living or dead, who would they be?
Such a hard question. I was like, I was like, who do I even want? So one of them would be my brother. He just passed away in May. And so like, thank you. Be him. But then I was also like, if I was to sit down with anybody, I want to laugh. I want to laugh a lot. So I was like, Reese Witherspoon would be one of them. She's so funny. Follow her on Instagram. She's hilarious. Emma Stone is also very, very funny. And I mean, I think most people want it to be like profound people, so like ask them lots of questions, but I really just like want to laugh and get to know people.
Relationship building.
totally. And then the last one would be probably like a former president. Like I would love to sit down with Barack Obama. Like I would just love to like pick his brain and hear like all of the things from him. I think that would be fabulous.
So funny. I had this like gut feeling. I was like, oh, I feel like she's going to say him. So weird. Sometimes I have this thing. I don't know. Anyways.
We're connected.
We are. So if you were to look at your life thus far, what has been the most daring thing you've ever done?
Hands down, having kids. Like growing children and then the birthing children and then like continuing to raise children. I mean, when people are like, cool, what have you done lately? I'm like, I grew people with my body. What have you done lately?
Yeah, that's like a superpower.
Crazy. Crazy.
Yeah, it seems very painful, but you know, I'll get there. I'll get through it.
Get through that. Good.
What is the phone app that you use the most?
For me, it would definitely have to be Voxer. Mm. I love using Voxer to communicate with my clients and like, you know, have little mini coaching sessions over on Voxer. It's a great way to stay connected to with other, like my accountability partners. It's just mm-hmm. nice to create community in it, and you can stay in touch with people without needing to be face-to-face all the time, which can be hard.
That's true. And it's also, you get to hear their voice, their energy, totally. All of that yeah. wonderful stuff. Yeah. And so if you were to have a movie about your life, thus far, who would play you?
Rachel McAdams.
Ooh.
She's just so cool.
Yeah, she's a great actress.
Yeah. Yeah, I love her.
And what is your favorite family recipe, whether it's traditional or you love making together as a family?
Mine would be pierogies. Mm. Yeah, my dad's side of the family is Polish, and living in Denver, like there's not a lot of Polish food, so whenever we go back to visit my dad's family, like pierogies are definitely top of the list. I love it. They're so yummy.
They are really good. I'm sure your families are really good.
Yeah.
So if you had to describe yourself as an animal, personality, style, type, what animal would you be?
I would be an elephant. And that's so fascinating. I was like a sloth, and I was like, nope, that's not the right answer. That's like the that. Animal I want to be. Just want to take it out. No, elephants are instinctually maternal and care very much for their children. And they're also very communal. Like they take care of each other really well. And this, I mean, I admire that so much about the species in general. They're just awesome and very majestic. Watching elephants.
They are. I've only seen them like not super close up, but I've heard so many amazing stories of just how they are very maternal, very caring, but like stand their ground if you're anywhere near totally, their yeah. babies.
Yep.
So, and you do have a day off, because I know you have a couple days off here and there. What's your favorite way to spend a day off?
It's so funny because it's counterintuitive to everything that I am, but I love just like not having anything planned, just kind of like seeing where the day takes us. Like, yeah. what are you in the mood to do? And having, it's almost like having a yes day. Like, so if the kids are like, hey, I want to go to the pool. Can we go to the pool? Yeah, we can go do that. That sounds fun. Can we go get lunch at Chick-fil-A? Yeah, we can do that. That sounds fun. So life moves so fast. The best memories are created in the in-between. So just like a whole day of like no plans.
That was so inspirational. I feel like that was a quote. Quoted here. So what is something an outsider wouldn't know about your industry?
So I was thinking about this one. And I think the biggest thing, and I hear this a lot, is like, when you sign up for a coaching program or to work with a coach, it's because you want to make a shift or a change in your business. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of times we put all of the onus over on the coach, and like your coach can't actually make the changes in your business. That has to be you. Mm-hmm. And so if you approach any sort of like investment or anything that you make in your business, making sure that you have the capacity to make the changes that you want to be making.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's what it's about. because we can show people how to change, but they have to take the action.
I can give you all of the steps. I can literally lay it all out for you. And if you never take action on it, your business isn't going to look any different.
Wise words. But Elisa, where can people find you, hire you? We're going to link everything below, but if you could let us know too.
So one of the best places to hang out with me, because I love just like, I love talking to people.
Yes.
Would be over in my Facebook group. It's called the Consistent 5K Freelancers Collective. It's a great group. I mean, we just love hanging out and talking to people. And then over on Instagram, it is my first name underscore last name underscore, which will be linked in the comments
because yes.
You will not spell it correctly. Like, not guessing. Nope. If you do want to work with me, visiting my website at thesustainablebusinesscollective.com is a great place to start. I have a whole bunch of different opportunities, different levels of investment. And even a free training on how to become fully booked out in your business while only working 20 hours a week. So check those out.
Yes, we'll definitely have everyone check them out. They'll be linked. But Elise, thank you so much for coming on. It was so fun chatting with you today and just hearing your journey. And I'm sure so many people learned amazing things from what you were saying, your tips and everything that you did provide today. So we really appreciate you coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been awesome.
Absolutely. Thanks for coming. And make sure to like, subscribe, comment below. What was your biggest takeaway from Elise? I'm sure she would love to see it as well. So leave that below and we'll see you on the next video.